Shane Tupou is kindly joining us for a cordial today. Never a dull moment in politics. But, of course, many of the moves are disadvantaging our people as we have fought for decades, in fact, generations, to try and get some traction so that our mokopuna can grow safely in our own land. Shane Tupou is with us today for a cordial. Tēnā koe, Shane. Good to catch up with you again, Shane. Well, the public service targets have been a feature of the previous John Key-led national government, but Luxon now set his own government 9 goals for the new 6 years, covering health, law and order, welfare, education and climate change. What's your initial reaction to the ideas on the table, Shane?
Well, it's like having a bucket but a big hole in the bottom. The more water you put in, the more water that comes out of the bottom. And just quite simply, landlords like myself are going to get about $2.9 billion over the next 4 years. These tax cuts are going to cost us about $15 billion. We're going to have to borrow that. That's a given. So the fundamental economics just doesn't make sense, Dale. I think it's more of a promise than a plan, to be quite honest.
Is it pandering to the voters who support the National Party? Tell us, what happens to that money that goes to landlords? Obviously, it finds its way back into the community, but how?
Well, not necessarily. You know, I'll give you this example. You give a minimum wage worker an increase, they spend it locally. They'll buy their kids a pair of shoes. They might even shut themselves a feed at the local Otahu fisheries. But folks at the other end of the scale that get that sort of money, they go overseas. They might buy a new car import, but it's not part of the circular economy as much as an increase in the minimum wage. So, you know, I think that's a bit of a fallacy, to be quite honest, Dale.
Okay. So there are 30-odd ideas here, and that's what they seemed when I first read them, just sort of ideas. There's no time frame on some of them, but more importantly, I think, Shane, is how it affects Ngāi Māori.
Well, it affects Māori badly, and I'll give you a real example of that. You know, Māori unemployment rate is at 7.6%. The general population is 4%, so that's almost twice as high. And unemployment currently is by design. What I mean by design means lower wages, higher unemployment rate is one of the key tool mechanisms that this government has picked up to lower inflation. So that will have a direct effect on Māori. You know, they say they're going to build more people out of emergency housing. Where are they going to go to, Dale, when less state housing is being built? They'll go back out onto the streets. And also, Dale, they say that they're going to cut violent crime when they're cutting back on police recruiting numbers and they're making cops spend more time administrating in the back office because their staff have gone as a result of the state sector cuts. And let's just put this in context, Dale. Our whole economy, our whole employment mass has moved upwards over the last 30 years. When John Key was the Prime Minister, 20% of the workforce were public sector workers. When Helen Clark was Prime Minister, 20% of workers were public sector workers. When Jacinda Ardern was the Prime Minister, 20% of the workforce were public service workers as they are today. So to say that the bureaucracy is bloated simply isn't true. Those statistics prove that.
As you can see, well, there are obviously job cuts, and we feel for those people. It's very easy in the media. They say, oh, there's 178 jobs going from this area, all that. But the reality is that puts heaps of pressure on the families of those who have been laid off. And if they could walk into another job, okay, to buy. But that's not the reality. And at the same time, I see that politicians are getting a pay rise. That'd go down like a bucket of cold sack, wouldn't it?
They've got to do what Jacinda Ardern did during COVID, say, no, my people aren't going to take pay increases. In fact, I stand to be corrected, but as I remember it, they took salary cuts at a time where This government is calling for austerity. There are 31, yes, you heard it right, 31 executive members simply cannot take a pay increase.
Okay, well, let's talk about our reaction here as a people. Are we hearing enough from the New Zealand Māori Council, from the Iwi Leaders Forum, from our tribal leadership challenging the political moves that will quite obviously disadvantage our people?
Well, Dale, I think there have been times where we have been the sole voice, the lone voice on many of these issues. We gathered with great enthusiasm and a plan to go forward in Tūranga Waiwai. I think it was in February. There's another hui taking place. It's a taumata hui at the end of May, I think it is. All of these things are important, but I think what we've got to do is we've got to put the pressure on continuously. And I think there needs to be a coalition of trade unions, of Māori, you know, our young people were very strong on the climate crisis that they have inherited from us just last week. I think that pressure needs to be continuous, and I think it needs to be brought to bear on the government on a daily basis, because, you know, once you have Māori unemployment at 10, even 11%, Dale, that becomes entrenched. And you and I remember what it's like to have entrenched unemployment. We lived through the 80s and 90s. It means we're employed, unemployed. It means our kids are going to be unemployed, and it means our mokopuna will be unemployed. So once unemployment becomes structural, it's deep and it's dark, and it's very hard for whānau to dig their way out of it.
So you mentioned the collaborative challenge, and I do take your point that often it's our people standing on our own, when it shouldn't be, because when we're fighting for Māori rights, we're fighting for workers' rights, we're fighting for disadvantaged communities' rights. But we often don't stand shoulder to shoulder, as you're implying here. Whose role would it be, do you think, to initiate a corridor and to get some sort of collaborative challenge between the trade unions, climate change advocates, Māori, rangatahi, environmentalists, etc.? Who needs to do what to get that to become a reality?
Well, I think it's our collective responsibility, but I think there are some really good rangatahi, or rangatahi adjacent, I should say, leadership. You know, Tina Nata just last week said to the government, you want us to meet, you want us to dialogue about our pathway in terms of race relations in Aotearoa, New Zealand, when you are casting upon what we think is the most racist policies of our generation. You know, it's that type of leadership, it's that type of corridor that is happening, and I think collectively, Dale, we're responsible for pushing it forward.
More public sector job cuts announcements are expected this week. What's the future for these people, do you think?
I think it's tough. But, you know, it's not just about the 15,000 workers that are going to be unemployed. And I think they're probably going to have to dig deeper in that because, you know, the deficit is only getting bigger. They're going to have to borrow $15 million largely as a result of tax cuts for people that don't need it. But on the ground, it has a bigger impact. I'll give you a very quick story, Dale. Many of the support workers at Middlemore Hospital, part of their role is to ring up and say, change the phone, you've got your appointment next week. Any problems, any issues? Do you have any problems getting here? All right, and then they'll give you a reminder a couple of days later. And if you have got a problem getting to the hospital, they'll sort it out for you. Now, those workers are being done away with. So what's happening is that the doctor is turning up to give day surgery or to give whatever procedure he's giving, and the patients are turning up because the dialogue has not been continued. So it actually costs them in terms of their healthcare, and it costs the taxpayer in terms of people who miss appointments. So, you know, but many people, they brush them off as unnecessary bureaucrats, but actually some of these people's roles are extremely important to the outcome of our people's health. Talk to your local doctor. He will tell you the most important person in that surgery is the receptionist that keeps everything ticking over.